120,000 volumes available. Shop today at conservative.edu. Scroll down to Bookstore, browse, and place your order today. That's conservative.edu and scroll to Bookstore. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on three regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these three stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you again for joining us on Let's Face the Issues today. It is our prayer that each and every day as we face the issues, the information is very clear, that it is inspirational, informational, and challenging to us. May I say to you, as we look at what the Word of God says, I believe a good, broad, deep answer to one of our previous callers is simply, we need to get back to the book of all books, the Bible. See what the Word of God says. Allow the Word of God to motivate, to mandate, and to carry out what we do. That we lean not on our own understanding, but in all of our ways, acknowledging Him and allowing Him to direct our paths. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. That's the challenge that I have for us today as we hear what is taking place with the new elected and inaugurated mayor in the city of New York, 8.5 million people. Again, let me read a portion of an article that I have just researched today. I welcome the change. This is Mondami saying, for too long, those fluent in the good grammar of civility have deployed decorum to mask their agenda of cruelty to the masses. Many of these people have been betrayed, but in our administration, this is Mondami, their needs will be met. Their hopes and dreams and interests shall be reflected in the transparency in our government. They will shape our future, and for too long, these communities have existed as distinct one from another. We will draw this city closer together. We will replace the frigidity of rugged individualism with warmth of collectivism. If our campaign demonstrated that you yearn for solidarity, then let this government foster it. Because no matter what you eat, how you pray, where you come from, the words of most define us as the two. We shall share New York together, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, he is talking about bringing everybody together. Whatever you eat, wherever you go, however you pray, whatever religion you are, we're going to bring us all together, is the mindset with Mondami. But he's using the term that a socialist, Marxist, communist terms that have been proven over the past 150 years to be an absolute destructive lie. Ladies and gentlemen, Mondami's first goal is to centralize everything. His goal is to control everybody, to control property ownership, to control the landlords, putting controls on how much a landlord can charge for rent, which will give what I call property owners nothing but to surrender their property back to the collective, that is to the government. Listen, he's not concerned if a property owner cannot pay the rent, the repairs and collect the rent, which is going to be controlled by the city. He's not concerned about that because, after all, listen, the bottom line is that landlord walks away, lets it go into foreclosure, it becomes city-owned property. And Mondami is talking about now having rent controls, talking about having free child care, having free trains and bus and subway rides, no cost to the citizens, and having the collectives set up. Grocery stores, he's talking about now immediately opening 5 city-owned grocery stores so that everybody can afford groceries, because the prices will be set based on the location, based on the locale, based on the community income around them. All of the grocery prices, and it'll be absolutely subsidized by the taxpayers in New York City. I believe New York City is already something like $300 million below the line in debt, if you will. I believe the number is about $300 billion. I can't count that high, but anyway, it's a horrible mess, and he's talking about giving everything free. It's a lie, and he's saying capitalism has failed, capitalism is wrong, and those that work hard, make money, buy things, own property, you're the bad guy, and we're going to bring you down and give what you've got. You remember, I believe it's about 18 to 20 years ago. It could have been slightly more or less. And Johannesburg, South Africa, where a new government came in and took all of the property, literally confiscated the property from all of the white people and gave it to all of those that are dark-skinned in their society. And now, as a result of that, they're not producing farms, they're not producing crops, et cetera, because they didn't know how to carry it out. That's the mindset that is not being quoted, said, or stated in such a dramatic, detailed fashion as I just said. But that's the focus on socialism, communism, and Marxism. Take from those that have earned, take from those that have worked and labored, take from those that have bought and paid for with blood, sweat, and tears out of their own pockets and lives to produce and have something, and give it to those that are doing nothing. And the thing that frightens me is when you have interviews of those in New York City about what do you think, what should this be free, should this be free? One young lady with an open brain, open mind, that her brains had fallen out, when asked the question, well, who's going to pay for that? She said, well, the government. Where does the government get the money? Well, I don't know, but the government needs to take care of it. That's the mindset today, and I'm fearful, anxious about where we see our nation going as a result of it. And again, the answer is, I believe Christians, conservatives, and patriots need to stand up, speak up, be vocal, and victorious in the end if we will stand for what is truth and what is right and what God has given us in our constitutional republic. I believe Brother Davis Harper's on the line. Brother Davis, go ahead, please.
Thank you, Dr. Youngblood. And I believe the young lady a while ago ahead of us said that she knew that he had sworn in on the Koran. I believe it was two Korans that he was sworn in on. One was his granddaddy's, I believe. But anyhow, I remember about 30 years ago that I confronted three Baptist preachers here in Jacksonville about a situation I was concerned with. And the answer that I got from them was I could see how deviated they are from the scriptures over 30 years now ago. So it's getting closer and closer. If conservative Christians, they need to keep their spiritual sword sharp and their powder dry, because I think we're fixing to have some trouble in the United States.
Brother Davis, I believe you're exactly right. I hate to say it, hate to see it, and am absolutely concerned about the potentiality of it. But lest God intervenes and redirects some hearts and minds and political agendas, I believe that's where we're headed. And it is frightening and sad that we've come to this point and place in our nation. But it points out more fully the demonic, devilish underpinning that is being used today to lie to the general public and make them believe the very lie that Satan is wanting. And it goes back to, and you've heard me say many times on this broadcast, the perilous times, the word perilous, dangerous, devastating, dark, difficult. And that is what we're seeing today taking place. And it goes back to underpinning there that you touched on. I believe you can trace all of the problems in America today to the church house doors with the silence and the timidity of pastors in the pulpits. This is the reason we have the LGBTQ sodomite agenda prevailing today. This is the reason we have the Islamic jihadist agenda prevailing today. This is the reason we're seeing our future in America as a free nation being limited today. And right now, and I don't know if you're familiar with these statistics, right now, the statistical data and the agenda for the future and the survey of George Barner and others say that we'll have 15,000 churches closing in America just this year. 15,000 churches closing. And part and parcel of that is because the Christians, so-called, have abandoned the church. there's the great apostasy, the falling away. And secondly, it's because the truth of the gospel has not been told. It's been a watered-down, sugar-coated gospel that is preached by people like Osteen and others that do not get to the root of what God's Word says. So I go back to the fact, if I can repeat myself and have a little redundancy in my closing remarks. The redundancy is simply this. It goes back to the church and Christians. We've not been the salt and light that God's called us to be. The Lord Jesus himself said in Matthew 5, ye are the salt of the earth. Ye are the light of the world. He didn't say, I want you to, I hope that you will. But he said that Christians are. The church is to be the salt and light of the world. And if the salt has lost its savor, Jesus says, it's worthless for anything to be spit out and trodden underfoot. And I believe that's what we see happening, because we've not been the salt and light we should have been.
So, I'll second that motion, and amen and amen.
Well, God bless you, brother, and it deserves our prayer, our serious attention, and it deserves our opening our mouths and stop being silent. And
don't, he's on the way.
Amen. I'm ready. God bless you, brother.
God bless
you.
Have
a wonderful day. I believe we have Jim on the line. Jim, go over the question or comment, please.
How you doing this afternoon, Dr. Youngblood?
Doing good. I pray that you are.
Come on now, what's wrong with from each according to his ability to each according to his needs?
That works, doesn't it? Jim, you're the historian. How many times has that worked in the history of the world?
Absolutely zero times. As a matter of fact, it leads to equal poverty in every single instance of it. I don't know if you heard another part of one of his speeches there about rugged individualism being replaced by collectivism.
Yes.
That
was part and parcel of his speech in about three or four or five different areas in his total speech, and using different nuances to say the same thing.
Yeah, it does not work. They've even studied this at the college level. One particular college professor, I think back in the 70s, I'm trying to remember his name, but he actually did a little test where he just gave all the students a grade, whether they turned in work, whether if it was incomplete, complete, or not done at all. He gave them all the same grades there, and what he found by the end of that semester is that nobody was turning anything in. I mean, why be productive if you're going to be, not taken or not given credit for it? Human beings need to have some fulfillment for the work that they do. Otherwise, there's no incentive to do any work. And I'm just talking at the secular level. I'm not talking at our spiritual level. Christ gives us the drive to be that way, but without Christ, you're relying on human nature, and human nature will default to what's the easiest way out.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things, Jim, that I've kind of put together in my research about collectivism, I've gone back to what was said by Karl Marx and what was said by Lenin, what was said by Mao and others, and I've simply summarized it this way. Collectivism, what does it really mean? Collectivism requires force and coercion. It is the full power of socialism and ultimately the force of taking what you have worked to earn and own for yourself to give to someone else that's doing nothing to earn it. I don't know if you could get any clearer than that, but it was Karl Marx that you quoted a moment ago, from each according to his ability to each according to his need. That is, everybody gets out and works. Everybody participates in eating, but there's some that work, some that do not work, some that watch. And that's what you found in the book of Acts and the scripture in the fifth chapter and following, where ultimately they discovered that socialism and communityism in that fashion did not work. In fact, Jim, I'm looking at a research on the question of socialism or collectivism. This writer said, collectivism is social, economic, and political principle that emphasizes the group, the community, or society as a whole over the individual self-interest. It argues that major resources and key decisions should be shared cooperatively and all cooperatively owned and socially controlled rather than private ownership for personal profit. It goes with the understanding, as one writer put it then, collectivism then is a form across, is a, in different forms across socialism, communism, and forms of anarchism, and even certain individual and traditional indigenous societies, end quote. So, Jim, what we're saying is that openly, without any hedging, without any equivocation, Zohan Mandami has said, we're going to run a socialist, Marxist, communist, Islamic, jihadist government in the city of New York. That's as simple as I can put it as I see it today. Mandami's goal is to control every private owner of property. He has a total disdain for capitalism. He has a total disdain for private property ownership. He has a disdain for, quote, white people that are wealthy, end quote.
Well, he's forgetting one thing, sir. Here in America, we don't have the restrictions of being able to move. He's going to have a wealth flight from New York City that's going to leave his tax base utterly devoid of anything meaningful. Those that are that see the writing on the wall will leave. And speaking of work, Paul said he was a tent maker, and those that don't work don't eat.
That's right.
Not?
Absolutely. And that's my position today. I don't know what we would have done in America, in our capitalistic society, in our constitutional republic, and the freedom that we have. I don't know what America would be like today had it not been for capitalism. And our founding fathers saw something that they realized did not work in any other part of the world at any other time. And that's the reason we have what I believe God gave us as a constitutional republic with a capitalistic base as to what we do in America. Had it not been for that, I don't believe we would have anything that's called industrialism or industrialization of our nation or the growth and development we've had as a nation. Every nation, Jim, and I'm preaching to the choir now, I know, because you're the historian, but every nation that's ever tried socialism, collectivism, anything than, other than capitalistic system has faltered, failed, and fallen. And those that have tried that, history records hundreds of millions of people have died as a result of being forced into the socialism system, socialist communist system. It's sad. So I'm sad see what is taking place. It's my prayer, Jim, one little footnote, it's my prayer that when he tries to open some of these up and tries to cancel, in fact, he's talking about now, already talking about putting into effect that there will be no such thing as individual private ownership of any property. He's already talking about now going in, and if you have a title to a piece of property, you've got to surrender the title so that it can be utilized for the benefit of the whole. He knows what he's doing. He's got a game plan to carry it out. It's my ultimate prayer that our president, Donald J. Trump, will find an avenue that he can intervene, put a stop to it. In fact, I've read two or three articles that there's some faults and some lies in his papers for his coming to America. And I believe we need to, if that is real, we need to cancel his citizenship and send him back to wherever he's from. I'm praying that God will find an avenue that some of this can be stopped and corrected. But, Jim, thank you so much. It deserves our prayer, our constant commitment to serve the Lord. I believe we have another caller on the line. Give me the question or comment, please. Jose? Okay, we lost Jose. Jose, if you're there, call us back. Love to talk with you. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. I'm looking at another headline, ladies and gentlemen. Most of the headlines are saying a similar thing. We will replace the frigidity of rugged individualism with the warmth of collectivism. What does that sound like? It says, we're going to put it in a position in the city of New York. You don't have to work. We're going to take care of you, food, clothing, and shelter, transportation, baby care, et cetera, et cetera. You don't have to do anything but sit back for the free ride. Further, the article says, together we will tell a new story of our city. This is Mandami. This will not be a tale of one government governed by 1% of the people, nor will it be a tale of two cities, the rich versus the poor. It will be a tale of 8.5 million citizens, each of them a New Yorker with hopes and fears, each a universe, each of them woven together as a whole. That's collectivism. That's terminology that's found in Marxism, socialism, and communism, Leninism, Maoism. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe it's time that we understand what is happening. Here's a Catholic bishop, Bishop Robert Barron, slams Zohran Mandami's warmth of collectivism, saying, "God, for God's sake, what are you saying?" Bishop Robert Barron, a prominent Catholic leader, slammed socialist New York City Mayor Zohran Mandami's inauguration line promoting the warmth of collectivism, saying, "God, for God's sake, spare me that." During the inaugural address, the newly minted socialist mayor of New York's first Muslim mayor declared, "We will replace the frigidity of rugged individualism with the warmth of collectivism." The line promoted immediate backlash from many conservatives who expressed alarm at such a phrase being used by the leader of America's biggest city. Quote, he said he intended to replace the frigidity of rugged individualism with the warmth of collectivism. Collectivism, in its various forms, is responsible for the death of hundreds of millions of people in the last century alone. Socialist and communist forms of government around the world today, Venezuela, Cuba, North Korea, are disastrous, this writer said. He consistently condemned socialism and has embraced the market and economy with which people like Mandami characterize as rugged individualism. In fact, it is the economic system that is based upon the rights and the freedoms and the religious liberties and the dignity of all persons. End quote. Couldn't have said it better, ladies and gentlemen. That is exactly what we see taking place. Another headline. Critics say Mandami's vow to swap rugged individualism with the warmth of collectivism has a sinister undertone. This is what Governor DeSantis said. The warmth of collectivism that's always required coercion and force. End quote. Mandami's statement is the same, and I've quoted it several times. The warmth of collectivism has always required coercion and force. How many dead over the past 100 years of the collectivist ideology, one person said. The Republican Conference Chair, Lisa McLean of Michigan, called Mandami a communist. Zohran Mandami is a dangerous communist who likely will destroy New York City through his dedication to the communist ideology. Let's be clear. Communism has failed everywhere it has ever been tried. New York City will be no different, she asserted in her post on X. Senator Ted Cruz, Republican of Texas, responded to Mandami's controversial remark on Thursday, asserting, when communists rule, individual rights invariably are taken away. Let me dwell on that again. Ted Cruz said this, Mandami's controversial remarks on Thursday, by asserting, when communists rule, individual rights invariably are taken away. That's my fear, that's my concern, that's my whole focus in talking about this on today's broadcast. If Mandami's approach has any influence, gets any traction across America, we have lost our Constitutional Republic. We have lost our Bill of Rights. We have lost our religious liberties. We have lost our freedom of speech. We have lost what God has given us through our founding documents, with our founding fathers giving us the Constitutional Republic with a leadership that God has designed in the plan that we have. One writer goes on and says, collectivism isn't warm, Senator Mike Lee, Republican of Utah, declared. It's as cold as ice and locks the poor into perpetual poverty. He continued, free markets have elevated more people out of poverty than any government program ever contrived. Representative Chip Roy of Texas, who's running for the Lone Star State's Attorney General, said, and I quote, the Marxists and the Islamics are the enemies of America. The mayor of New York is both. He's a Marxist and he's an Islamist. He's an enemy to our country, end quote. So, ladies and gentlemen, it is my desire for us to wake up, look up, recognize what is taking place around us. We no longer can afford to just sit by idly. We can no longer just look at it, well, that's politics and I can't be involved in it. May I say to you, it is the danger that looms before us with the communism, socialism, Marxism, Islamism that's inundating America even today. It is the danger that looms before us, and it's coming very rapidly at us. And yet, at the same time we see these things happening, we're witnessing the implosion, hear me, the implosion of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. My question to you, are you in church? My question to you, have you said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord? My question to you, are you faithful in your time, talent, treasure, testimony in the local New Testament church? I'm not talking about are you giving to some Osteenite broadcast on air. I'm not asking you, are you submissive to the Word of God and giving tithes and offerings in the local New Testament church. I'm asking you, are you faithful in your church? Have you said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior? Listen, if we do not do that, we've lost the game. We've lost the nation. We've lost the benefits and the rights and the liberties we have in our Constitution. The characteristics, ladies and gentlemen, if you have not cleared it in your mind in this broadcast today, the characteristics of collectivism is shared ownership. Land, I'm reading from the research on the article, land, factories, and natural resources are owned collectively by the state, the workers, and community. Opposes private ownership when it leads to inequality and exploitation. Cooperation and competition. Economic and social systems should reward cooperation. Competition is seen as harmful when it creates class division. Social equality aims to reduce or eliminate any class differences. Only one class. Wealth and resources should be distributed according to the need and contributed, not inherent to capitalism, but simply the socialist system. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at an article that was sent to me by one of our listeners and a friend. I'll not call the name. Let me just read it to us in closing. Isn't it interesting how the forces of chaos are moving so forcefully in our culture and all the hidden cancers in our governmental process are being revealed? We're not the nation we thought we were. We're not collectively a righteous people anymore. Our righteous forefathers built a wonderful system with the seeds of its own destruction built in. It requires pervasively righteous citizens to ensure the continued proper function of that system. The second physical law of thermodynamics has spiritual corollary. The law of sin and compromise both saw that time and time over well-designed systems eroded uselessly. Without an outside supply of saving energy, the human race fell several generations after creation and only 8 people survived. As America is currently headed, our other culture of significance in human history has decayed into oblivion after 250 years of significance on the world stage. Can Trump preempt historical precedents? We'll see, but I think not. The Bible supports my skepticism as well as both affirmation laws. So, ladies and gentlemen, what are we doing? How are we living? How should we then live according to the Scripture in Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 10? Ezekiel said, how should we then live? That's the question today. And I believe it deserves our attention. I believe when we see what's happening in New York, we need to sit up, wake up, understand that we cannot allow our nation to slide into Marxism, socialism, and communism. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Look forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Tune in tonight at 11 for a replay of today's Let's Face the Issues broadcast on WBOB AM 600 and 101.1 FM.
Trusted Voices with solid teaching and talk.